and I forgot to turn on the thing. So that's all right. That's not going to interrupt anything. So down here in verse 13, they go to the riverside. Evidently, they had asked around, found out where this prayer meeting was going to be, and they spake to the women that resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, remember that city from Revelation, it was one of the cities that the Lord had spoken to, and he worshiped and she worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. As they were speaking to them, evidently more of a conversation than a teaching, more of fellowship than a teaching, the Lord opened her heart. As Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke were ministering the word to these women, and her heart was opened. She worshiped God, but didn't have a relationship with the true and the living God. She wanted to know God, and so her heart was already being prepared to receive what was going to come now. The heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. She heard the things that he spoke, and so she came and came to faith. And when she was baptized, so immediately right after, she came and she was baptized after she was saved, and said, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So she's come down from Thyatira. She's the seller of purple. So she's brought a trade with her. Tim knows what color to wear and what day to wear. This is good. But to get this purple, it's amazing what they would do, and I have no idea how they found out and who the first knucklehead was that tried to do this, but they would take shellfish, and in the shellfish that were there in Thyatira, they're in their throat somewhere, at the base of their throat, they would have this gland or this thing, this pocket, whatever it was, and they would squeeze out one drop of purple. And that was what was used to make dye. You could crush the whole shellfish, but then the purple wouldn't be as purple as what Tim has. It would be faded. But if you got this one drop out of this shellfish and collect it, can you imagine the work that... They said one drop. I don't know how big a drop, but they're little shellfish, so it can't be that big. But they would go around squeezing out this drop of purple and then use it to dye the clothing. And it was wanted all over the world. And so they could make a good living. But she's come down from there. She's brought this with her. And she's selling the purple, evidently making a good living. She's got a house. She's not living anywhere with people. She's got her own house with those that would be living in the house. So as soon as she gets saved, what does this woman start doing? She's got the gift of hospitality right away, and she says, Paul, I want you guys to come. She's asking these four guys to come and to stay in her house. She knows they're visiting. She's gleaned that from the conversations that they're having. And so it says that she constrained us, which means she's grabbed them by the throat and dragged them to her house and said, you're staying. We're having shellfish without the purple dye. So come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So evidently no time limit, you know, stay here tonight. Just stay here whenever you come through. And it came to pass as we went to prayer that a certain damsel, so as they're going to pray again, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit. A lot of things go on when Paul moves around here. Isn't it something? Every time he goes somewhere, a riot breaks out and things start happening. And this girl is attracted to these guys. She's possessed with a spirit of divination. Not a good spirit. But evidently a truthful spirit for whatever reason. This woman meets them with a spirit of divination, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So she was owned by some men who would just take her around, and she would pour out this understanding that this demon had. Scary stuff. And yet she came, and she sees Paul. She sees the group coming through, and she's attracted to them, and she follows them, and she cries out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." Really? That demon must have been spanked later, because all he was doing was pointing out people that the way to come to salvation. Notice she doesn't say, "I have the way of salvation." These guys have the way of salvation. She knew from the spirit that was within her what these men were. And she did this many days. Not just once, but every time they would go out, every time they would minister, she would be behind them crying out. And Paul being grieved. Now, why would he be grieved? This is a great PR stunt that's going on here. This woman's just bringing people and showing them that this is the guy, he knows the way of salvation. She's kind of opening the door for them to talk to all the people that were around him. But he was grieved, and he turned to the Spirit. So why is he grieved? Because she's possessed by a devil. And it doesn't matter if the message is right, if the heart behind it is wrong. He wants the heart to be right so the message can be right. He doesn't want any glory to go to her. He wants the glory to go to God. And he's grieved because she has not got salvation. She's possessed by a demon spirit, and he's grieved because this demon is possessing her and using her for his glory and not for God's glory. And Paul is grieved by this. Grieved because this woman is not saved. What a great heart. He's got all these people in front of him. He's got an open door to teach and preach. And everywhere he goes, she's announcing it. And she's announcing who he belongs to. She's announcing that God is the way of salvation. But the poor girl is possessed, and it grieves him. Oh, for a heart like that. Instead of using her for his own glory, he says, "No, this is wrong. This girl needs to come to salvation." He turns to and said to the Spirit. Notice he says to the Spirit. He knows what's inside of her. And again, remember before he had looked into a man's heart and just looked into his very being and said, "You need salvation." And he looks into this girl's heart and sees that there's a spirit, a demonic spirit that's possessing her. And so he talks to the Spirit. I don't know about you, but it's a little too freaky for me. I ain't messing with any demonic spirits. I don't have that gift. I don't even want to be confronted by one. I'm sure we have. But I don't want to be in that place of doing it, or at least until God is behind it. But he says, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ." He doesn't use his own name. He doesn't use his apostolic authority. He doesn't use any of that. In the name of Jesus, in the character, the nature of who God is, "I command you to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Doesn't say how. We see in other places where Jesus talked to the spirits and had them come out that they would... Remember the boy that used to throw himself into fire or into water and try and kill himself? And when the spirit came out, it said that he thrashed around for a long time and finally left him for almost being dead. But it doesn't say how the spirit came out of her, but everybody knew the spirit came out of her. That's scary. Ooh. And we really have to look, "Lord, what's coming out of me?" And we have to think we were possessed once by the enemy of our soul. maybe not by a spirit within us, but by we were led by the spirit of Antichrist. We are led by a satanic spirit. And boy, what has come out of us? Oh, all the garbage, cleaning house so that he can come in and fill us. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they didn't care about her. Look at the hearts of these guys. When you're greedy, it doesn't matter who you hurt along the way. The greed is more important than the people. The greed is more important than how you get it. They saw the hope of their gain. They caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Amazing. They bring them before the rulers, and because they're going to lose money, they're going to make sure, because their anger is such that we're going to lose money now, and so we're angry. And you see people like that. Stock market crashes. They lose all hope. They get angry. They get frustrated. They lose all hope. Stock market crash. Way back before the recession started, people were jumping out of buildings because they lost all their money. Their hope was in their greed. Their hope was in their money. Their hope was not in who Jesus was. We'd be scared, I'm sure, if we lost all our money. A natural thing. But our hope is not in the money. Our hope is in the God who provides for us. Our hope would be in the one who provides for us so that we could trust him and let him show us how to get through this time that we're in. But they had no hope, and so they took him to the rulers and said, "They're troubling our city." And remember, it's a Roman colony, so they're against Christianity. They're against Jews. So no matter what, they're going to be in trouble. "They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." So remember, they're in this Roman city and said, "We're Romans. We aren't supposed to touch this stuff. We aren't supposed to get near this stuff. And these guys are bringing it in." "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes." Can you imagine? You're a Jew? Oh, let me rip my clothes. Really? But don't people do that? They get so angry. They get so upset that they just look at them, you and your people. They don't care about who you are. They just care about the name that you're carrying, your ethnicity. And they commanded to beat them. They didn't care where they came from. They didn't care anything about it. Isn't it amazing that way back in the Old Testament, when God told Gideon to tear down his father's idols, that Gideon went and he did it at night because he couldn't do it during the day, because then they'd see who it was, but everybody knew anyway. But he tore down the idols, and what did his father say when the mob rose up to get Gideon? "Hey, leave him alone. If Baal is really God, then let him come after him. Let him do it." But there was nobody in the crowd that would say that here. But way back then, Gideon's dad, I'm sure just because this is my boy, I don't want him to get hurt because they'll hurt me too probably. But he says, if Baal is really God, then let him take care of him. But nobody says that here. Nobody has the clear thinking enough to come and to say anything like that. And so they rip their clothes, they command them to be beaten, and they laid many stripes on them. And then they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So what they said was, "Jailer, if these guys get loose, you're dead." Because remember, if you were a jailer and your prisoner got escaped, you took the punishment that he was going to have. So jailers were kept them very safely. And he received such a charge and thrust them into the inner prison, so way down in the depths, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And they found these some of these jails in Philippi, and they looked at some of the iron that would go around their ankles and go around their wrists, and they fit very tightly. You couldn't move. You couldn't. There was no wiggle room to get around. And if you slept, you'd have to sleep in a certain position. You couldn't move. And boy, what do your muscles do when they're in a certain place for a long time? Ugh. They start cramping, they start hurting, and you still can't move. And it just gets worse, it intensifies. But they said that they were very small and very tight fitting, maybe even cut into the feet, in the wrists of those that were jailed and shackled up. So they thrust him. Not only there are they in the stocks, but they're down in the middle of the jail, way down at the lowest part. And at midnight, and you guys know the story, you've read this enough, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the other prisoners heard them. I'm sure they did. What are you idiots doing? You're waking us up. Not that they had anything to do or anywhere to go, but hey, quit bothering our sleep time. But it just really shows to me that their joy was independent of their circumstances. Joy is always free and clear of circumstances. Joy is there because Jesus is there. And if Jesus is our joy, no matter what the circumstances are around us, that joy shouldn't diminish. And for Paul and Silas. And notice what it doesn't say. It's Paul and Silas. What happened to Luke and Timothy? They get away scot-free? Come on. This is not fair. Paul and Silas could have said, well, what about these two guys? They're coming with us, right? No, they don't say anything about it. Luke and Timothy are outside of this. Paul and Silas are the only two that were beaten and then thrown into jail. And they don't complain to God. Well, how come Luke and Timothy get away with it and we have to be here? It's not fair, Lord, stomping their feet and doing all this stuff. They don't do it. I'm sure Luke and Timothy praying, getting with the brethren that were there, praying. Lydia, I'm sure, trying to figure out what to do next, praying. Jesus interceding for them. And their hearts are gladdened by the God who's with them in the jail. Oh Lord, give me a heart like that, that no matter what my circumstance is, I can still have joy. And sometimes I can. You know, there's some garages that when I deliver to them, they look at me and go, why are you smiling? What have I got to be unhappy about? I'm still walking, I'm still moving, I can still pick up stuff and carry it. Hey, I'm good right now. I got God that loves me. But of course, that goes by the wayside. But here's Paul and Silas in the innermost part of the prison, not the best part, smelly, stinky, no ventilation. And if you're there long enough, everything stinks. Ugh, awful. And yet still having joy. God, you're still with us right here in the midst of this. Oh, Lord. So no matter what the things are around us, whether fears or anxiousness of what's going on, or fears or anxiousness for our families and the things that are happening, God is still with us. And he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And boy, do we need to learn how to hang on to that and to trust that. It's snowing. Oh no, my day is ruined. Really? if that's all it takes to ruin your day, you haven't got much of a day to start with. Oh, Lord, thank you that you've given me breath even for today. Oh, Lord, we have so much to learn and so much to grow in. And you got to think, what is this going to do not only to the other prisoners, but to the church that's outside praying for them when they come out? It's going to increase their faith, and they're going to have more favor with others that are around them than they've ever had before, because they're going to see this miracle. They're going to see how real it is. So at midnight, during the darkest time of their day, the hardest time of their day, their cuts have probably stopped bleeding and the healing has started. But boy, have they got a hurt. The shackles cutting into their hands and their feet, and they can't move. Their muscles probably starting to tense up and just cramp up and cause pain. And yet they're singing praises, and they prayed. Oh, Lord, help the church, Lord, because we're not in that place. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Amazing. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison, it doesn't say anything about the rest of the city, does it? God's got a place of interest that's going on here. And how do you direct an earthquake to only go in a certain place? God's got stuff going on that we can't even think about, that the world wants to grab a hold of and have that kind of power, and yet God just thinks of it and things happen. God just speaks, light be, and it comes. Earthquake, go here, and it goes. Oh. And immediately, and I don't know how God does this, it doesn't say one door, all the doors, all of them. He just knocks loose all of the doors. I think of that because I go by the county jail a lot on the expressway. And just think, if an earthquake comes through, how does he open every single door? How do you do that? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Boy, people would love to have that power, wouldn't they? All the doors were opened, and everyone's bands, notice everyone's, not just Paul and Silas. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants all to come to salvation, all to be saved, but all their bands are loosed. He knocks off all the shackles. Now, how does he do that without those guys falling through the cracks in the floor now? Don't know. God has got something going on here. The doors to the opposition to who they are and the message they're bringing are suddenly opened. They're not closed anymore. All those doors are open. And Paul and Silas are going to be able to preach freely for a long time here. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, he's probably the only one in prison that was sleeping. The guys that were sleeping were awakened by Paul and Silas singing. And now this earthquake comes, the prison guard awakes, and he saw that all the doors were open, and he said, I'm dead meat. So he pulls out his sword, and he was going to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, not just with a little voice. Well, if I say it's small enough, I'll be in favor with God, but this guy won't hear me, and he'll still kill himself. Because he was probably not the nicest of prison guards. Prison guards are not supposed to be nice. So he probably, when he put the shackles on extra tight, make sure these guys don't go. And they could have had hatred for him, but they don't. Oh, Lord. Paul cries out, Lord, save this guy. Lord, don't let this guy die in his sin. He cries out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm," because we're all still here. We're having a party down in the lower level if you want to come down and be with us. What? What do you mean you're all still here? And then he called for a light. Don't do yourself any harm. Do yourself a favor and come to the one who can save you. The one who just saved us wants to save you. Oh. And so the keeper calls for a light, and he sprang in. He just didn't walk in. He jumped in with everything that he was and says, "What is going on here? You guys are still here?" And he comes trembling. And notice, he falls down before the prisoners that he's supposed to be harming, that he's supposed to be keeping for a death sentence, that he's supposed to be keeping so that they could not be a trouble to anybody anymore. And he trembles before them because all of a sudden he realizes there's a God behind these guys that's bigger than I am, and I need to know him. And he falls down before him. And he brings him out, which was nice. And he says, "Sirs," notice his whole inflection has probably changed, right? Because how many guys in jail are going to call their prison guards, "Sir"? Unless they're from the South and they're brought up that way. But he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He has evidently heard the message that they're bringing and the message that they were conveying and the songs that were being sung. And he hears all that stuff and he says, "What do I need to do to get saved?" Boy, what an opening. And Paul goes, "Sorry, I don't have time right now." Salvation's not coming to your house today. Unbelievable. What an opening. What must I do? You know, Lord, please bring me people that would just say that to me. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go get circumcised. You got a sword." No. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house." Your house is going to be able to be saved in the same way that you can get saved, by faith, by belief. Not that there's a guarantee because you get saved, your whole household's going to get saved. But your household can get saved the same way, by faith, by belief in who Jesus is. And because you believe, you're going to sanctify your house as you go into it. But it's always in the same way, by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just doesn't say Jesus Christ. He says the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Adonai. The Lord Jehovah, the Jesus, his name, Christ the Messiah. The Lord that is the Messiah can bring salvation to you. He gives him his whole name, his whole character, his whole nature, all in one grouping here. And you shall be saved. You have the opportunity to get saved. And as they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So now the guys brought him to his house. They're teaching the house. They got another Bible study going on. Remember, their backs haven't healed yet. Their legs, if they got beaten there, haven't healed yet. The cuts on their arms from the shackles probably still hurt. I'm sure some of the shaking did some more damage. I don't know if the Lord opened the shackles first and then did the earthquake, whatever happened here. But they still got cuts and bruises and bangs and hurts all over them, but they weren't worried about them. This guy said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they're now in his house and they're doing a Bible study. And I'm sure some of the other prisoners are outside too going, "Hey, if these guys are doing it, let's go with them." Let's just hang out and see what happened here. How did this happen? Because they got to be amazed too. Looking around, seeing all the doors open and all the shackles off of every prisoner. How do you do that? We need to know the God that does this. And what does he do with us? We had the shackle of bitterness, and we had the shackle of pain. We had the shackle of being in dysfunctional families. We had the shackles of drugs, and we had the shackles of the world that were all over us. And Jesus came in and he did the same thing to us that he did to every single prisoner there. He knocked those chains off. Those shackles were no longer there. That's why when I got saved, I could stop alcohol the moment I got saved. I could take out the cigarettes, put them on the table, and never pick up another one again. And it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because he wanted me to be free of those things. And he took those shackles and just broke them in an instant. It's just, oh Lord, this is amazing. And don't we want to know the God that can break every single other shackle that still holds us, that still keeps us, that when a name is mentioned, pain comes to our heart or to our mind. Lord, free me of that shackle. Lord, you're the one that can break those shackles. Will you do that for me? And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord into all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. Here's the jailer who inflicted a lot of pain to them, who is now washing them. Oh, the shackles have been broken in this man's life too. And he can now do what he would never do before. He would never go into the jail and wash people's cuts and hurts. But now he's in his house. Can you imagine the influence this is having on his family as they watch him? You're this rough, tough jailer. Rah! And you're washing people's cuts. Oh. Amazing. And then he was baptized. So after he got done using the water to wash them, they dunked him in the water and said, okay, get baptized. He and all his straightaway, the whole house came to belief in who this God was that Paul and Silas had talked about. And so they were baptized that same night. Boy, what a change of events. I'm sure as they're sitting there in the midst of their day, in the midst of their COVID, their sequestered state, that they couldn't believe how much could happen in one moment. And we couldn't believe how much could happen in one moment either, could we? All of a sudden, one day we're going about our business, the next day the church is closed and everybody has to wear masks and everybody has to stay home. You can't do anything unless you're an essential worker. Well, we've got a God that's essential, and he's got a word that's essential that's bigger than the COVID that's here that's sequestering us. And he wants to set us free through his word. And that's how we're going to be set free. And that's what God wants in our hearts. And that's what we want so that we can be free. Free to be in circumstances that are like Paul and Silas's, and we can still praise the Lord. Oh. Lord, help us. And when he had brought them into his house, now he just doesn't wash them. Now he's going to feed them besides. Can you see the guys at Rome going, what are you doing? They can't say Ave because they're not Jewish, they're Roman. But whatever they say in Rome, he brought them in, he put them down, and he brought food to them, and he rejoiced. This is probably the first time this guy has ever rejoiced in his life. Believing in God with all his house. And we got to stop here just for time's sake, but man, amazing story of what has happened. And yet, every time I go through this and I read this, I just think of, Lord, what is shackling me from being free enough to praise you no matter what? Free enough to praise you when somebody cuts me off on the expressway. Free enough to praise you when my pain rises up within me, of the name that I hear. free enough to praise you in spite of the cancer that's in me. Free enough to praise you in spite of the things that we face. And who knows what else we're going to face. We're not done. We could face a whole lot more. One of the pastors that we listened to took his elders aside a few weeks ago and told them by the end of 2021, I fully expect us to be back in home churches. So get your stuff together and get ready. And who knows? We don't know. But what we know is God's going to meet with us whether we're in a house or whether we're in a building. And God isn't going to disappear just because we can't come through church doors anymore. Oh, man, God's not with me anymore. Really? We can still praise the Lord whether we have to stay in our home or whether we're in jail or whether we're in church. Can you praise the Lord as much in your home as you do in your church? Because guess what? You're the church. So wherever you go, the church is. So if you're not praising the Lord, no matter what's going on around you, then how's your heart? And how's my heart? And I know my heart needs a lot of work. And who knows what the Lord is going to bring so that we can learn how to praise Him no matter what happens. But let's start practicing. Because things are coming. In one day, Paul went from preaching and teaching to casting out a demon, to getting beaten and thrown in jail, to having an earthquake and everything gets thrown off. Man, what a day he had. Bet you he was pooped by the end of this day. And now rejoicing because he's got another brother who's going to be in heaven with him. I can just see Paul in heaven hanging out with his jailer going, hey, let's go talk to some more angels and see what else they did. Well, Father, just thank you so much for the joy of your word, Lord, the joy that only you can bring. There's not joy in circumstances, Lord. That's just happiness that goes away when the next circumstance comes. But Lord, we want real joy that stays no matter what comes. And Father, we know it only comes from you. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, and come to you and just submit to you once again that you would work in and through us, that we could have joy no matter what our circumstances, no matter how dark the time, no matter how much of a beating the world wants to put on us, Lord, that we could still have joy in the midst of it. We just thank you that it's available. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one that brings it and gives it to us, and Lord, works it in and through us. So, Father, have your way with us. Work in and through us to make us those disciples, to make us those servants that would bring you glory. And Father, thank you for this man coming to salvation, who used to be a man who beat people, who kept people in jail. Now, Lord, he's a man that frees people and ministers to their needs. Thank you, Lord, for what you can do in a life. May you do that in our lives. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.